Very quick Day X update for you today. The unrelenting march towards World War III continues unfettered as Vladimir Putin has ordered Russia to boost the size of the army by 180,000 troops to 1.5 million. Now, this is incredibly misleading. This is the number that is being talked about in Western media. The actual number is closer to 2.392 million, or let's round it off to 2.4 million if you include the 900,000 support personnel and non-active duty troops. Now, that is just the tip of the iceberg, because in Russia, there are millions of reserves who go through their mandatory draft conscription program, and every year they get training. I believe it's for 6 months to a year. I don't know the exact duration, but they have millions of reserves. They have the Wagner Group and other mercenary groups, which total in the tens of thousands, approaching 100,000 mercenaries. They have the Chechen forces that I'm not sure are included in this number. I don't think they are. They have the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republic, the separatist forces fighting there, as well as a few other ragtag groups in some of the peripheral old Soviet countries, partisan groups. And then they also have their other three-letter agencies that might not be included in this number. All told, you have probably, I don't want to say tens of millions of people, but definitely 10 million able-bodied males who have some degree of military training, who would be able to perform duties on the front line, or in some capacity, even just civil defense, when the shit hits the fan. Compare that to the Canadian military, where we have around 68,000 troops. So this boost alone is an increase in nearly threefold increase over what we have in Canada. Okay, 180,000 troops, the addition to what they have going on there, and all of their troops, or many of them now, are battle-hardened. A battle-hardened troop, somebody who's seen it and somebody who knows how to navigate a trench, I'm going to presume, I'm no military expert, but I'm going to presume they're worth about 10 greenhorns. So you do the math on that, okay, and you come to realize that, holy shit, the Russians, even though when you compare the entirety of the Western military forces, all of the 32 NATO countries, soon to be 33, when the western half of Ukraine eventually joins, if we don't go into thermonuclear Armageddon before that time, if you add up all of the manpower of NATO, yes, you know, our numbers are far bigger, but it's not falling under one centralized power structure. They don't all speak one language. They don't have a homogenous culture. Everybody's different. And let's face it, there's 50,000 different identities that are contained within all of those 32 countries that are going to, it's going to be like herding cats when shit hits the fan. So the Russians have a distinct advantage in that it's all centralized, and their 10 million guys are all centralized. Now, compared to World War II, these are still paltry numbers, I know, but you got to consider that this could just even be the tip of the spear, okay? If they do a general mobilization, you're talking about millions more active duty soldiers, and then all of these soldiers arguably have a much greater capability than they did in World War II. So you arguably don't even, like, one troop today with his basic equipment is probably worth at least 5 to 10 troops back in the day. I mean, a gun's a gun, but, you know, you got better optics, you got better training, you got drones. Higher technology is a force multiplier in and of itself. Now, we got to talk about what's going on. Our leader here, our fearless leader, let's see what he has to say with his 66,000 troops. Let's see what he has to say about how we're going to deal with this World War III situation. I didn't hear him mention anything about bunkers in this speech, but, you know, the Russians, they're just bluffing. They'll never do it.
On our lives, on our world, will be so much greater if Putin wins this war that we will and have to stand every single day until Ukraine wins this war.
You know, it's no surprise to me that this guy applauded a neo-Nazi in the parliament building. No surprise at all. That's where we're going. But hey, Don't worry, because we're going to repurpose our World War II pistols. You know how I always joke about how they're going to take away our guns before World War III starts, and then they're going to put them back in our hands and send us off to the front line with a gun pointing at us to make sure we can't turn around and go AWOL? I mean, this story just delivers. You know, Canadian military Second World War pistol slated for destruction will be sent to Ukraine. So we have no more handguns. We can't have handguns anymore. But you can if you're willing to throw yourself into the meat grinder for the globalists. For the globalists. Okay, this is what I want to talk about today because this is important. Guys, I hate to toot my horn. Oh, yeah. But let me refresh your memory about something I said last year. At this time last year, September 19th, this is what I had to say. But what I can say with certainty is if I knew a big war was coming, I would want to get all the dissidents in line. And I would want to make sure that they couldn't extend their influence outside of their echo chamber. And so I would get them all on one platform, echoing ideas off of one another in a very well-contained space that couldn't affect and derail the trajectory of the broader status quo. And that's what's happening right now. Make no mistake, they anticipate the war getting worse. They anticipate financial upheaval. They anticipate political chaos next year. And in doing what they're doing now, by deplatforming people, demonetizing people, it is only going to make the problem worse. Anyways, go watch that video, man, because, you know, occasionally I'm in the zone with this, and I'm just seeing things, and that was one of those days. And, I mean, I knew this was coming. I've long since said, as Day X approaches, the crackdown on mainstream media, or media, independent media, I should say, is going to ramp up. And here we go again. They are systematically trying to phase out Russian media, keep it away from Western media public view. Because when World War III comes, or when whatever sort of escalation is planned, they want people to primarily have one narrative. Now, they're not going to block it off everywhere. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. Let's just check out this story. Facebook owner of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, the prepper, bans Russian state media outlets over foreign interference activity. They allege that RT and others use deceptive tactics to covertly influence people. Influence them to what? I do not understand how it could be construed that Russian influence campaigns favor Trump over Harris. I just don't see it at this point in time. Because it would be so hard to systematically, like we're talking about, the American media in itself has so many different veins and different channels and different points of view that to say that even if the Russians were influencing, which is it illegal to share your perspective? Isn't this a free and open society? But again, I understand something like TikTok brainwashing kids and just turning us all into doom scrolling media junkies. I get that, but this is different. Okay, I don't see how this type of reporting would necessarily make people more populist and want to gravitate towards Trump. As I've said before, the goal of our adversaries is to create civil conflict. They don't care who gets in the White House. Vladimir Putin knows that whether it's Trump or Harris, the war on the that nothing is going to change about the material situation in the war. He knows that. So what they're trying to do is make it so that whatever they're about to do, the Russians aren't going to be able to share their point of view. This is not just Facebook. This has been systematic across the board. YouTube, I think, started off. They banned RT. They have ceased operations in Russia, pretty much. It's been throttled by the Russian media. So this is, in some ways, it's bidirectional. So it's not just us that is trying to block the Russians. The Russians then have to respond in kind because it's unfair from their point of view that their population is getting this controlled Western media narrative and we can't get theirs. So this is a perpetual downward spiral of censorship, and it's called the Iron Curtain. It's the digital Iron Curtain. It's coming back. Before the diplomats flee the embassies, which apparently the family members of the Russian ambassador have fled the embassy. That's just what I've heard. I can't confirm that, but it's something I heard offhand. So maybe go and fact check that. But before that happens, you'll see the complete banning of Russian media. But it's not going to be banned entirely, because you want to give your dissidents a place to play where you can surveil their every thought. And what better place to do that than the last bastion of free speech, good old X, also known as Twitter. They're promoting Twitter as being this bastion of free speech where you can speak your mind freely and not have to worry about censorship. But of course, there's algorithms that can easily contain people within these echo chambers, and that's the echo chamber I was talking about in that video. I was distinctly thinking about X when I made that video. Because remember the Summer of Flowers program in Maoist China, where they encouraged everybody to speak freely about their opinion, and the year following that, they did the crackdown and they slaughtered a bunch of people. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying you don't want a bunch of dissident voices off the radar, off the grid. No, they want us on the grid. There's a reason why they're bringing in Starlink into all of the off-grid retreats, okay? They want to monitor people by any means necessary. So they don't want to completely, but they just want to, if they say, okay, we can get all the crazy from their point of view, because remember, there's a fine line between crazy and genius, all of the eccentric thinkers onto X, all of the people that might create a problem, we get them onto X, we make them think they still have this freedom platform, and we give them Rumble too, and maybe a few other odds and ends, and then we keep that away from the status quo. So RT probably won't be banned on X. If it is, I would be surprised. But you're going to see a response from the Russian government in that they are going to respond in kind. Now, in Europe, I believe that the banning of Russian media is even more severe. This is very crucial because if some major incident happens, we're not going to hear the other side's points of view. And it is going to be this very Orwellian control mechanism that is used to shape public opinion and put through whatever sort of agenda they have. This is not conspiracy. This is just, look, I predicted this last year. It's all playing out. Since that time, we've seen so many people get canceled, demonetized, the FBI beating on their door over and over and over again. I told you that the political unrest and the Trump derangement syndrome and the stochastic terrorism was only going to ramp up. And here we go. Here we are. Okay? So it's going to happen. It's going to go down. In fact, this was an interesting. I only watched this once or twice, so I have to watch. Let's just watch it again together. This is one of the Secret Service directors, I believe. The Secret Service director, the guy who oversees the Trump security detail. Let's hear what he has to say. There are some interesting Easter eggs in what he said that might signal that they're preparing for some continuity of government DEFCON like shit. Let's hear what he has to say.
Long and short of it is this. Coming out of Butler, I have ordered a paradigm shift. The Secret Service's protective methodologies work and they are sound. And we saw that yesterday. But the way we are positioned right now.
I would actually have to agree with that. They did stop the guy before he could even get a shot off, which, you know, is something.
In this dynamic threat environment, it has given me guidance to say, you know what?
The guy who is very well affiliated with the Ukrainian SBU, I should say.
We need to look at what our protective methodology is. We need to get out of a reaction.
Yet another reason why they got to ban that point of view. Because when shit like just starts to happen, you got to suppress those voices. I still believe that it was just a fanatical nutcase. I don't believe that this is top-down, you know, deep state ordained. I think that this was perhaps at best some proxy by proxy by proxy, some guy who was convinced by maybe even Ukrainian forces to do something like this. But that's a far cry from the deep state order to hit on Trump. It just is. I mean, I'm not saying this because, you know, to try to rain on the pity parade. I'm not, you know, I have no dog in this fight, which is why I'm able to make those videos like I made a year ago that predicts exactly what's happening today.
Active model and get to a readiness model. There could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other.
A higher state of readiness. That's DEFCON, definitely. And that's, I'm sure there's like a higher security detail component to a higher level of DEFCON. If he's talking about a kinetic war, I mean, what war could he possibly be referring to? We know that if Trump wins, it's a war with Iran. And we know that if Kamala wins, it's likely continued acceleration on the Eastern Front. So that's just strange that he would even say that at all when, you know, this is in no way, shape, or form related to that. That is strange that he would say that.
Another issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the United States Secret Service. And so we are working, we are making information available to all of our partners. And I just want to say that the commitment of Congress to the Secret Service throughout the years has been tremendous. And we will...
Okay, anyways, that statement he made there is concerning to me.
That could put the United States into a model and get to a readiness model. There could be another geopolitical event that could put the United States into a kinetic conflict or some other issue that may result in additional responsibilities and protectees of the United States Secret Service.
Yeah, that's very concerning. I think he said the quiet part out loud. It sounded like he was briefed on that at one point or another, and he said the quiet part out loud. What is this? Alleged would-be Trump assassin said in book that he looks forward to World War III. Fighting on the side of Ukraine, and he wanted to storm Moscow. Wow. Again, guys, there's just a lot more crazy nowadays. I mean, what do you expect? If you believe that Trump derangement syndrome is a thing, then you should expect that you're going to see more crazy shit. And it's not just a deep state conspiracy. Again, like I said in my video earlier today, if the deep state wanted somebody gone, they would be gone. They have a lot more options than bullets, okay? There's a lot more ways to skin a cat. What does Lindsey Graham have to say? I am proud to be one of the president's biggest advocates in South Carolina. We must do all we can to help him cross the finish line. Yeah, so, you know, and he's the same guy. This is the guy, okay, and this is the weird, twisted irony of all this. That's the guy who is condoning and tacitly... encouraging this type of behavior. You see what I'm saying? So it's a tangled web we weave, for sure. Where else do we want to go? I don't think I want to go into depth about that story. I want to talk about this, though, very briefly, because I got stuff to do. Let's stop pretending for a second. According to Dylan M. Elman, who apparently just read the book by Anthony Jacobson entitled Nuclear War, and I've had an epiphany about this book. And not even this book in particular, but the mentality that they're trying to encourage in Western society in particular. There's one of two points of view now when it comes to nuclear weapons and their potential for use and what the outcome might be. On the one hand, you still have a significant amount of the population that is completely complacent and oblivious to the effects of nuclear Armageddon. Maybe they use a few in Call of Duty and they think it's all fun and games and there's no radioactive effects. And then on the other end of the spectrum now, because people are being reawoken to the risks of nuclear war, a whole generation, actually two or three generations have passed since the Cold War. Myself personally, I never really got the Cold War. I just missed it. I was a kid during the 80s, so we didn't really do a lot of things that were Cold War related. I was too young to, you know, have watched Threads or those nuclear war movies that came out in the United States and the UK in the mid-early 80s. So three or four generations have completely missed that. Okay, every generation is about 15 years. And there's two extremist points of view right now that our adversaries are the only ones who stand to benefit from. One of those extremist points of view is that they're not, nuclear weapons are no big deal. The other extremist point of view is that if any nuclear weapon is used, it's going to lead to full-blown, mutually assured destruction. This, of course, inspires people to be fatalistic and apathetic towards the issue. Why should I care if we're all going to die anyways? And on the flip side of that, these people are not prepared at all. They don't care. They don't see it to be a problem. What is the common denominator here is that they both are unprepared. One side thinks that there's no point in preparing. The other side thinks there's no problem to prepare for. There is nuance and there is a spectrum of possibilities that could arise after a nuclear incident. This guy's thesis is essentially regurgitating Annie Jacobson's mutually assured destruction hypothesis that there's thousands of nuclear devices, and as soon as you shoot one, everything's going to go boom and it's lights out, good night, nuclear winter, the world's going to end and it's never going to be the same. But that's just a hypothesis. That is not necessarily how it plays out. There are many other factors to consider in the escalation ladder, which throughout the last 2.5 years, we've discovered is far more a dynamic and multifaceted than we originally expected. We just thought, okay, we're going to start shooting in Crimea. Vladimir Putin is going to start shooting nukes. We failed to see all the asymmetry. Even now, even as Russia is about to get hit with long-range missiles, and they are, don't buy any of this talk that you're seeing in the White House today with Matthew Miller where he's saying, yeah, we haven't made a decision. They've made the decision long ago. In that same video I showed you a year ago, I told you exactly how in that video, it's funny, because they're talking about, I'm talking about ATACMS and whether or not they're going to approve ATACMS, and I say the exact same thing I'm saying now. The decision's already been made. They are going to start bombing Moscow. Now, the good news is that Vladimir Putin's comments about what Russian response is going to be was far more nuanced than most people gave it credit. Most people think that he was going to declare war against NATO, but he just said that we will take the appropriate response, cool as a cucumber, as is typical. This is not to say that I don't think that he's not going to target NATO directly in some way, shape, or form. I do. But there's many ways he can do that. He can empower our adversaries. He can provide more hypersonic missile technology to the Houthis that just were able to get one past the Israelis despite the attempted intercept of 20 interceptors today. There's plenty of things that the Russians could do still in the run up that escalation ladder, which is not to say that they're not just going to do a nuclear test or use a tactical nuke out of the blue. They could. But what this point of view is selling, and this is just textbook Annie Jacobson point of view, that there's thousands of nukes, they're all going to get fired. Once a single nuke is launched, he says it right here, it's a death sentence for the human race. No, it isn't. We don't know that. We don't know what the response is going to be. There are so many factors to consider when you're talking about counterforce, strategic counterforce operations. There are, you got to factor in who does the first strike. What are the targets going to be? Is there going to be a conventional weapons component? How many of these nuclear weapons are actually currently operational? Okay, and even the scope and scale of using 1,000 nuclear weapons is not enough. It's not as big as a lot of people think it is. When you're talking about the millions of square miles of landmass that you have to cover, and you're talking about nuclear weapons that can do, you know, all told, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of actual blast radius damage if they were all detonated, which they won't necessarily be. Because again, we're talking about, you have to factor in different strategies for how many people in charge think that they can fight and win a nuclear war. This perspective doesn't do that. These are lazy people who don't want to prepare for the eventualities of a nuclear conflict because they believe that they're not going to survive it. So they're perpetuating this myth. And in fact, this was a stated strategy of the Soviets and the Chinese back during the Cold War, the peak of the Cold War. At its zenith, they were promoting this notion that you shouldn't prepare. They were going along with the mutually assured destruction hypothesis. They knew the nuclear winter hypothesis was bunk, was totally inflated and exaggerated theater. They knew all that, but they encouraged it in the minds of the West because they wanted to inflict maximum damage. How do you inflict maximum damage? Get people to get complacent and apathetic towards building out civil infrastructure that can help us survive. There's no point in, you know, building a bunker. There's no point in me having a year's worth of food stored away. And that's how you inflict maximal damage on a population, is to demoralize them and discourage them from preparing at all. So this is all bullshit, man. This is, yes, it's true if everything was launched at once, but that is just but one of many different potential outcomes that could arise. Here's some video of the Houthi missile, hypersonic. It has hypersonic written on it. I don't know. I mean, they're saying that it's maneuverable in its re-entry phase. So it's not just a ballistic missile, but it has some maneuverability. It was going, what was it, like Mach 5 or 6 or 7? I can't remember, but it was like 8,000 kilometers an hour, and it was able to defeat Israeli missile defense. However, I'm still not sure if that wasn't just the Israelis allowing it to hit so that they could have casus belli for going to war with Yemen. But by the sounds of things, the war with Lebanon is now on. Of course, it's going to start as a special military operation to secure the northern zone, and it will eventually morph into, it's going to morph into incursion into the 40 kilometer, I guess you would call it what they want it to be, is a demilitarized zone eventually. And yeah, so the war with Lebanon is on, oil is rising again. You know, I had another thought about the price of oil. What if the price of oil is declining because the Russian refinement capacity is diminishing and they're not refining as much? I don't know. There's so many, you know, like I said the other day, the aircraft carrier leaves and then all of a sudden oil starts spiking again. Is that because there's less security within the region, or is that because they actually anticipate that there's going to be a big war and they're trying to back the aircraft carriers out of the way? Hard to nail that one down. Ukraine planning false flag attack. According to Russian intelligence, a children's facility will be targeted in Ukraine. Now, this is the kind of information that gets very dangerous, because there are very stringent guidelines when it comes to YouTube, to reporting an event, to claiming that it is false. And didn't we all know what happened? The whole S-hook incident with Alex Jones. And so this is a very easy way to get canceled. So I'm putting this out there while we still can share that narrative. The Russians do this in an attempt to de-escalate. And I think were it not for many phone calls made to from Russian intelligence to American intelligence, specifically when Shoigu called Lloyd Austin last year, was it last year? Was it 2022? About the nuclear dirty bomb scare, as well as many others. I think that we would have seen one of these incidents happen a long time ago. So do not be surprised if you see some major event. And I don't see why the Russians would have a reason to do something like this. It just wouldn't serve them in any way. And any honest military analyst will tell you that. And even the ones like the Ben Hodges will say it would be kind of silly for the Russians to ever do that. Like, I mean, you know, if they want to lose the support even of their allies, then start, you know, murking children's schools and things of that nature. The Iranians and the Russians are now meeting, having nuclear talks once again in Vienna, of all places. That's interesting third-party country for to host that. And yeah, so that's still moving ahead, full steam ahead. Of course, the Americans are saying that it is not a do with peaceful nuclear use, but a do with military nuclear use. And I would not be surprised if the Russians have not supported the North Koreans at this point in time, or the Iranians. Freudian slip there. This is what's going on with AI. So ChatGPT-4, OpenAI, is now already, just within, when did that come out? 2 years ago? It's already at 120 IQ. It can get 120 on an IQ test. This is ChatGPT-4. Down here, you got Grok, you got a few others. What other ones do we got here? Which one is that? ChatGPT-4 Omni, ChatGPT-4. So yeah, Grok 2 is way down by where ChatGPT-4 is. So this is the new thing competing for human intelligence, trying to general intelligence. And that's what this would be, generalized intelligence. So it's only a matter of time before that happens. And speaking of intelligence, or lack thereof, this is what's going on in Germany today. This is when, this might be an old pastime, I don't know. But this is when furry, maybe these are individuals who have mental health issues or something. I don't want to disparage them if that's the case. But it doesn't look like it. They look pretty normal to me. What isn't normal is the fake horses that they are being scored on racing. Oh, man. I mean, Vladimir Putin must be laughing. This is District 1 of the Hunger Games. This is what we're doing. Hobby horsing. Okay, I didn't know it was a thing. Whatever floats your boat. She looks like she has a mortgage. And she definitely maybe, I don't know if she can get a mortgage if they knew that she was doing this kind of stuff. You know, what do you do? You try to warn people. The Saudis are buying 160 tons of gold. You know, adult milestones, share of 30-year-olds. This is what's happening in the West. In 1983, 80%, over 80% of 30-year-olds lived on their own. 2023, 60. Now, why is that? Is it the cost of living? Is it because we have an infantilized society? I don't know. Have ever married? 80%. Marriage is done. This is a brave new world. Go and watch the B-movie, Brave New World. It's like 3.5 hours long. Or just go and watch Demolition Man if you want to know what the future is going to be. Lives with a child, 1983. 60%, nearly half, so nobody has kids anymore. Nobody owns a home. You'll own nothing and be happy. You'll never have a steady partner. You're probably never going to live on your own. You're going to live in some shared, you know, accommodation, pod situation, and you're not going to have any kids. Your kid is going to be your dog or your Tamagotchi or whatever the hell they got nowadays. I got to get going, guys. If you want to support the channel, get yourself a shirt. Get yourself these games at the gym. All natty, baby. Still natty. I haven't jumped on that, what do they call it? Testosterone replacement. Still, you know, all you need for testosterone boost, anabolic exercise, sprints. When you do something, you got to do it with intensity. That's going to boost your anabolic response. I see so many people at the gym, and they never change year after year after year. They look exactly the same. And it's like, why even go? You're just wasting your time. You know, if the goal is to get ahead, you have to, you know, train insane and remain the same. So that's how you trigger the anabolic response, is you got to go hard in the paint, as the kids say nowadays. So if you guys want me to do a fitness video, I'll gladly do that. I'm building up my dad bod. I got that old man strength coming in. I can feel it coming in. And we can do another, you know, it's not going to be like me at my most fittest when I was doing calisthenics and I was running 20 kilometers a few times a week, doing half marathons every other day. It won't be that, but I can teach you the basics, and it's incredibly simple. I mean, you know, eat less, train more. Eat less, train more. Simple. Never mind that Ozempic crap. You don't need that. In fact, all of those things, all of those shortcuts are going to backfire when the shit hits the fan. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you want to understand, a great example of this is drugs. You know, people who are addicted to cocaine, what is it? It's an upper. What happens when you get off cocaine? You get depressed. You get down. Alcohol, it's a depressant. What happens when you get off of alcohol? Well, you get very anxious. The opposite of depression is anxiety. Okay, and the same thing goes for any drug. When you get off that drug, the opposite is true. You build a lot of muscles because you took steroids. The opposite is going to be true. You're going to grow tits after the apocalypse. And I don't think you want to grow. I mean, maybe you do. If that's your thing, I'm just saying, you know, it might make you more of a target. The same thing is true with everything. This Ozempic, there's going to be all kinds of side effects to coming off that stuff, if that's what people are using it for. So just do the natty thing. Do the hard ass work. Get out there and do the hard ass work. Do what you don't want to do. That's the best preparation that you can do right now. Doing shit you don't want to do. You think I want to be in here every single day making these videos? Not every single day. Most of the time I do. But there's many days where I'm like, I don't want to do this, but I force myself to do it every damn day, because that's the only way you're going to make that continual progress in life. That's my pontification for today. I got to get going, guys. Thanks for watching.